Tuned to 106.1 FM WSCA LP Portsmouth. We are Portsmouth Community Radio. It is now time for local folk here on WSCA. I'm your host, Steve Carrigan, and I'm bringing you the people that make local folk, or I should say the local folk that make things happen around here, the folk music scene, and any number of things. You know, I hope to get a sense of where they came from and what they're doing and where they're going and how they got to where they are in the folk community. And I do this by helping them, I think, share their own experiences, stories, and songs. Not just song of themselves, but songs that were influential to them and music that was influential and how they got to where they are. So, anyways, without further ado... Well, actually, there is a little bit more ado. First of all, here is your weather. Let's move on to my guest today here on Local Folk. This is a fellow that I've wanted to have on for quite some time. He's someone who I know through the press room session. I meet a lot of people at sessions, but he's there all the time, really, it seems like. He plays the fiddle now. But in fourth grade, he picked up the violin, which is a little bit different, you know. It wasn't like his from school. He, his parents had a strong feeling and like for music and taught him a lot and got him involved and his brother and sister involved in music quite early. He self-taught himself guitar. Back when he was a teenager. He's a singer as well. What we're listening to earlier is a chorus that he was in when he was in college at UMass. He studies bugs. He's even written a song about bugs, which I'd like to ask him about. Maybe he'll even give us a little taste of it as well. His name is Alan Eaton. He's the first person from the band Mudhook that I've had on the show. Mudhook is about as hot as Hardtack and Grog, I think, maybe at the time, way back when. He sings sea shanties. He does all kinds of things. I don't know. Alan, what else can I say? I mean, we're going to be talking for a while, but welcome to Local Folk.
Thank you, Steve. Thanks for inviting me.
Tell me, what were we listening to on the way in? I think people thought that maybe Local Folk wasn't going to be on, and it was going to be the church.
A gospel show or something. When I was in college, I was in a group called the Chorale, and we worked all year on music, and then we memorized about 15 or 20 things, and then went on tour, and this is what we sang. And in fact, this recording was recorded in Paris, and that's a double chorus, which you don't hear very much. There's most of the chorus is in front of the audience. And then several times we successfully snuck in, those of us in the mini chorus, in the back, in the dark, when the chorus doesn't, when the audience doesn't know.
In the back, in the dark?
In the back, yes. So Du Bois starts directing the piece, and this is one where you don't get the full effect on radio, but in the room, most of the stuff is coming from the front, and suddenly you hear a chorus behind you singing at the same time, and they're going back, so the sound is going back and forth. And the same leads and riffs are continuing, repeating one after the other in different voices and so on. It's really neat to do. I usually got the audience on their feet, and it's done as a double chorus.
It was early surround sound,
I guess. And of course, I haven't. You playing this just a minute or two, that's the first time I've heard it in like 15 years, because I don't have equipment on which I could play this anymore. But it's the only one I've got that survives of any of my stuff. I don't have any of my stuff from earlier, and that's the only one I've got that survives from that period.
How did it sound to you?
It sounded pretty neat. I was remembering some of the parts I was supposed to be singing. I had a complex. This is interesting. When the director would introduce this, he would always point out it's in eight parts. It would use after we'd sung it. And we'd do a couple others that were in eight parts. And when we'd get to the part and say, and it's in eight parts, there would always be an audible gasp on the part of the audience. And even when it was in another language, you'd wait for the translation and you'd hear the, oh! And it still wows people, but you know, just as I do, it's just as easy to sing in two parts as it is to four, six, eight, whatever, so long as you know your part. But it just wowed people. And when it's done as a double chorus with the music coming from both sides alternately, it's especially fun.
You're right. As long as you know your part and you know it as, you know, and you get it stuck in your head as your own personal melody or whatever.
And with that, there's a special trick to it because if you're separated by too much distance, the sound takes a fraction of a second to get to you. So you have to follow the director rather than follow your ears. So it sounds to you like the people in the front of the room are behind the beat, but you stay with the beat. And the people in the front are saying, boy, the people in the back are behind the beat. But the reason is there's a delay. And if you don't do that, everybody slows down. And so you really have to practice those to be able to do them. It's a great deal of fun.
I never even thought of that, but it is.
Until you've tried it, you don't realize that happens, and that's the reason why. So it's fun to do them. I've tried to get the guys to do it. We do a couple things kind of like that, but it's not quite the same.
Do you think that if we took some of the guys from the press room and stuck them way over toward the window and started playing songs?
Maybe with so much other stuff going on, they wouldn't hear us.
They'd be over there, they wouldn't hear you, and they'd be like, what am I doing over here? Oh, I think I need a pint.
Exactly.
Something like that. So it's a slightly different environment than the one. You know, what made you want to sing in the first place? I mean, I mentioned your folks had an interest in music that they instilled upon you, but when were you singing?
I started singing formally, I suppose you say, in fourth grade when I was in the choir at church. And in fact, it seems to me, was it Tony that said, Giblin maybe said the same thing?
Yes, he did.
He was singing in church, and I was first in the young people's, first in the junior choir, and then the youth choir when I got older, and then I was eventually invited to the senior choir. And then as opportunities arose in school, sang there as well. And then in college, this particular group that we opened with, and then all through grad school, nothing, no time.
Right.
So no time for any music, too much other stuff going on.
So first opportunity really was in church and joining. And so you did a lot of choral singing, but you were able to bring it obviously to a very high level because of what you were doing in college and touring Europe.
I think that was the one where it was the most demanding of all the stuff we did. The director taught us a lot about what causes you to go flat or sharp and how to avoid those kinds of things, some of the certain vowels and various other things that you might not have thought of. And he really pushed us hard to be thinking constantly and taught us a lot musically. It was very demanding, but it was very rewarding at the same time.
Mm-hmm.
And we did a mixture of sacred and secular stuff and a few gospel old-timey things even. I told you, a sea shanty, we did Whoop Jamboree.
You did Whoop Jamboree in this chorus?
Yeah, although an arrangement of it. But it was when we were in Berlin, that really that knocked their socks off. It was really neat.
I'll bet it did. So Whoop Jamboree, for example, maybe I should even just play a small piece of that right now.
Don't have in recording.
Sorry. Man. Oh, that's okay. Well, some things you can. Well, anyway, and Whoop Jamboree is something that you wouldn't think. Well, you know, I'll tell you what. Whoop Jamboree, you do perform with Mudhook right now, which is the band that you're currently involved with.
It's
right?
Not one that we've worked up per se, but it's something we get in sessions occasionally. And of course, it's the sea shanty version of it, whereas what we were doing was a vocal arrangement of the shanty.
So when we get to the Mudhook stuff, you know, a little bit later, our listeners can think back to that chorus song at the beginning and think about that chorus trying to attempt some of these things that you're working on right now.
It's a little different.
Yeah, or Mudhook going and doing some of these chorus things. That's a little different.
We're aiming for different things.
I'll be a slightly different things. Hey, you know, I'm going to play. You said that you your vinyl collection was sitting at home, not being used, and I was going to play a little bit of something.
You're going to put the second one on?
Yeah.
All right.
I'm going to have it on right now. I just want to. Is this it? What you were thinking of? Okay, I'm just going to. We're just going to listen to this for just a moment, and then I'm going to bring it down. We can talk about it a little bit.
Here I go, swinging low across that county line. The noose that was around my neck is far behind. And your smile still owns my soul, oh my love, goodbye. Yes, swinging low across that county line. Now this county line. Highway, you were close to me, your eyes could not see. Now half of me walk right through the door. So here I go, swinging low across that county line, searching for the soul.
All right, Alan. To me, that sounds almost like a theme song to a 70s
TV
sitcom.
Show or something.
Yeah.
That's the Poussette Dart Band, and in fact, one of my friends from high school was in that. Was one of the members of that, and I especially liked that particular cut. And when I finally got my first stereo, that was, I think, the first or the second record I bought. So
is it because you knew him, or
partly because I knew him, and I knew one particular cut of that, and I wanted to hear the rest, and it opened with that one, which I had never heard, and I said, "Wow, it's neat to hear it now." I want to get my see if I can remember how to play along with it.
yeah, it's fun to go back and kind of listen to some of this stuff and say, "I knew this guy, and I knew it," you know. So in a way, was this influential to you just because you liked it so much?
Yeah, very much. And it's typical of some of the kind of music. John Curtis, who was my friend, plays banjo and guitar and mandolin, and also as a singer. Poussette Dart on this wrote that particular one, I think, and played guitar. They were all four good vocalists and good mixtures of music. And so this is the Lexington connection again. That's where I grew up, and that's where John was anyway.
Was there a track on this album that was popular across the country or anything like that?
That was one.
That was one of them?
There was a second one. I can't remember now, but it's you've got the cover over there. Another one that John wrote. John Curtis wrote was also popular and was in playlists of local radio stations here and in Massachusetts.
Oh, very cool, very cool. So let's see, it's about 7:20 right now, and you're listening to Local Folk, and I'm your host, Steve Carrigan, and I'm with Alan Eaton right now, and we were just talking about a few of his influences growing up, and so far. You know, if you've listened to the show before, we don't always just play pure folk music, but so far we haven't played anything close.
they're quite different, but we're all influenced by different kinds of things, and that was typical of some of the stuff I was listening to. There were others as well that were popular folkies of the day that I listened to as well, but I was a lot influenced by a lot of different things.
So you didn't really come to the folk music through because you just had it ingrained and you were born with it or something like that. You had to find it in one way or another. I mean,
and it was easy too because that was the '60s and there was a folk music revival at the time. So there were a lot of groups that were doing this kind of stuff. And liked them very much, Peter, Paul, and Mary, and the Brothers Four, and Kingston Trio, and they all had different flavors of this stuff. Dylan himself, who was sometimes folky, sometimes electric. There were a lot of things, and they were all there. In addition to non-folk groups, like I think they were called the Beatles. entomologists know the Beatles and know how to spell them correctly.
How do you say that in Latin?
the Coleoptera.
The Coleoptera. I should just let you all know that that Alan is, at the time that he was singing this music, he was also studying insects and entomology at the University of Massachusetts, and you're an entomologist now, correct?
Yeah, that's right. That's what keeps me busy.
That's what keeps you busy. In fact, I know that you're probably one of the only people, well, I guarantee that you're the only person that I know that has the brand new model 2013 stink bug.
Yeah, we just got a couple specimens of the brown marmorated stink bug outside the studio here.
The brown marmorated stink bug. And, you know, you touch these things and boy, it's apparently,
yeah, they
it
really stink.
Yep. So but so this is what you're doing during the day. So you're a scientist. And so what is it about the, is there something, do you use a different part of your brain for music, or you feel like it's the same, or do you think that you're exercising different parts, or that they just go together? Like, you know, I've had engineers on the show. They tend to, and they tend to sing, and you're a scientist, and you're playing the music, and I'm not sure if there's even a relationship.
I'm not sure. There are a lot of people in the sciences who are musicians, quite a few actually. And to me, the music is relaxing and restful, and it's a great deal of fun when you can work on something that accomplish something that's difficult and do it really well, and especially the kind of music that you and I get to sharing with others at places like the Press Room. You learn much faster when you're in an environment with other people than you do when you're playing music alone by yourself, strumming your instrument in your room by yourself. And playing with others, singing with others really, really helps. It expands your horizon. You learn new stuff. There's all kinds of opportunities. And especially here on the seacoast, this is the one place where I've lived that has incredible opportunities. There's a continuum of opportunities for people in music, all the way from the rank amateurs all the way to the complete professionals and everything in between. So somebody who is a talented amateur can become a professional because there's opportunities all along the way.
So I want to talk about some of those opportunities, but I also want to play something that you're trying to learn right now. I have this French, hold on a minute. I know which one it is, but I don't know what number it is. My goodness, the French spell their numbers a different way. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7... 8. I'm going to try number 8. I'm sorry, the French don't really spell the numbers a different way. It's just that it's actually not labeled. Let's see if this is it, because I think it's number 8 right now. Does this sound familiar? Let's listen to this for just a moment here on Local Folk. It's almost a crime to turn that down, because that is lovely.
Isn't that beautiful?
Yes, and it's in English. What is the name of this song?
The Tooth Fairy. Tooth Fairy.
The Tooth Fairy. This doesn't remind me of a tooth fairy necessarily. Oh, it doesn't remind me of pulling teeth.
He wrote it apparently for his kids, and this is this group is De Temps en Temps. They're from Quebec.
Where did you find them?
Roland Goodbody played it on his show on
another radio frequency.
And I was just blown away. And he indicated what album this was, which was Habits de Papier, Paper Clothes. And a few minutes later, he played another cut. And I said, I've got to get that album. And I wanted to learn this song. I'm still struggling with it.
It's really beautiful. I mean, that's an incredibly beautiful tune from what I heard. So this is something that you're working on. You're working on the guitar part? You're working on the and
The guitar part is relatively easy to pick. It's the fiddle part to make it. I can make my fingers go to the notes, but to make it smooth and make it sound good, I'll take 10 or 20 or 30 more years, maybe.
Yeah,
but
really, no kidding.
But it's really fun. And isn't that interesting? I did a gaffe. I called it a song.
I know. So did I.
Have we talked about the difference between songs and tunes before? Have you in the show?
We definitely have. I mean, I try to downplay that a little bit because I think I make that gaffe more often than not. I should just say that I want to give tunes their proper name and songs their proper names as well. I'm mostly learning songs, but you're a singer and a player, so I guess we really have to get it right. Tunes have no words. That's, you could listen to that and you could make up 100 different names for it, and unless you knew that name was the Tooth Fairy, then... Now, there is a song. Let's switch over to a song right now. You just give me the first verse, and I'll sing along with you. I usually don't ask people to sing live on the air, but let's see if you can... Here, I'm going to mute it for a sec so I can tell you which one, and we're going to... All my members can play along and try to figure out what the name of this song is. Hold on a sec.
It's actually not a song. It's actually a rap, because I just didn't feel that I had the musical wherewithal to compose a tune. So we could talk about how I ended up writing this, but this is... Do you want me to say what the title is?
No. We're going to... Our listeners will try to find out the title.
We need a bar on with us to keep the beat, but we'll do it in our heads.
Okay.
We're flat, tiny critters, not picky about our food. We don't need candlelight to set the mood. We like tall grass and shrubs near the ground. Most of the time, we just hang around. Because we're the ticks.
Yeah. We're the ticks.
Yeah. We're the ticks.
Yeah. We're the ticks.
Dermacenter, amblyomma, ixodes, and so on and so on.
And
goes
so on
there.
And so on.
We gave it away when we went to the chorus.
I think so.
So it's called the Tick Rap. Well, and every word is true. Their scientific names of the genera here include Dermacenter, amblyomma, and ixodes.
Oh my gosh.
We talk about them not liking picaridin tucking your pant legs in, and short mouth parts have the young ones all, and every word is true.
So I don't know. I don't think I like picaridin either myself. I'm not a big fan.
We're going to use it Thursday night because we're playing at dusk. So it's going to repel the mosquitoes mostly for us.
Have you ever performed the song? It's called "I'll Tell Me Ma." You do that with Mudhook sometimes, don't you?
Only in group sessions. It's not one we've worked up. You sing that one,
and a bunch of
others lead that one. Yep.
But there's another one. There's another set of verses that go along with that song called Pilot Verses. And they are, it's in the tune of I'll Tell Me Ma. And yet it's instead of talking about I'll Tell Me Ma, what it does is it tells you, when you come around this buoy, head straight towards this, or else you'll hit the shoals, and this and that and the other thing. And it gives you a set of instructions, or piloting instructions, for a river and a waterway. So,
and that's a version I haven't heard. Neat.
Yeah. Well, and the only reason that I even made the correlation is because, first of all, I wanted to start talking about maritime music a little bit. And second of all, because these are two things, like if you wanted to teach somebody a little bit about ticks, you could do this tick song and it would rap.
We keep threatening to record it, yeah, and actually might put it on UNH's website because it's supposed to add a little bit of humor or lightness to what's otherwise a kind of a morbid subject when they're spreading diseases and such.
Well, I mean, ticks, I don't think anybody...
Did they have them on ships? I don't know.
Well,
out in the ocean?
You know what's funny is that I was recently told, they must have, I would guess, but I was recently told that smoking tobacco and indoors in those ships was something that kept the bugs away?
To some degree, especially mosquitoes and black flies and no-see-ums. Yep.
Can you imagine? That would have, that had to have been so miserable.
But once you're ways away from the coast or the shore, the no more biting.
No more biting
flies.
Oh, well, that's the good news.
So that's the way you head out and you do it. You do the capstan shanty, move out into the water, and then the mosquitoes leave you behind. Thank goodness.
As an entomologist and someone who likes maritime music, do you always choose the lesser of two weevils?
We try to fit that in every time I have a lecture about weevils. I try to fit that one in. There's a couple others we try to do the same thing to.
Okay. Hey, well, let's talk about what's going on, and then I do want to talk a little bit about maritime music. But you perform with band Mudhook, or you mentioned opportunities for people all the way from beginner all the way up to professional that are happening around
right here.
Are there any in your head right now that you can think of that you'd like to share with people who may be interested in getting involved?
There's especially if you're like me. I for many, many years, I played guitar in my room by myself. And you don't learn very fast that way. You don't get exposed to stuff that. But if you can get over your fright and be willing to at least come to an open session and maybe sit in the back row for the first time, and then maybe the second time bring your instrument and quietly play, and nobody will. And you can learn a lot of new stuff. And there's open sessions all over the place here with different formats. There are other forms. Some of them are in a round robin, as you said, where everybody gets five or six people, and then you start with person number one that plays something and leads something, and then person number two does it. Others have different systems. There are open mics where you actually – it's a little more intimidating, where you go up to a microphone and everybody's looking at you. In an open session, often you're in a big circle, and the audience is all the other people with you. So there's all kinds of opportunities. You and I know about the press room sessions on Friday nights.
Certainly.
Once a month I was at the Sea Shanty session this Saturday. What's the third Saturday of the month there? Ooh. There's a one over in Newmarket at the Stone Church, which is a bluegrass thing on Tuesday nights, I think. And there are many, many others.
There's a bluegrass thing on Tuesday nights, and there's going to be a Celtic thing on Thursday nights at the Stone
Starting
Church.
Starting in September, I think.
And that's going to be something that I'm going to be involved in with Jordan Wasaki and Jim Prendergast. And that
More good, good players and singers. It's really fun to join in something like that with good people.
That should be a really good time. I'm really hoping it is. And then Tuesday, you're right about that. And then we'd know the press room session. And then there are just a lot. And I think that you're making a point where there's really, I mean, it varies all over the place. Not just playing or participating, but even just going out and listening to something live is super important, I think.
Yeah, and there's venues here. If you look at The Wire or one of the other local papers, you'll find listings of live music. And for every single night, there's several column inches of places that are offering live music to fit almost any taste. There's jazz, there's rock, there's rap, there's a tremendous amount of stuff. And once in a while, folkies or maritime music.
Well, we have the maritime music coming up at the end of September, and Mudhook, the band that you're involved in, is definitely going to be a big part of that. I believe that you're playing, you're opening the Saturday night concert.
I think that's right.
And but before that happens, I believe this Friday, this is someone that you brought in as an influence, and I just want to play a little piece of it. It has some significance to me as well, because my wife, Elizabeth, loves this song so much. And
let's play it.
Yeah, and we just were going through a little bit of a difficult time lately with the passing of her mother. So, but this is someone that's going to be down at Prescott Park this Friday. It's Iris Dement. So let's listen to this for just a moment on Local Folk.
Everybody is wondering what and where they all came from. Everybody is worrying about where they're gonna go when the whole thing's done. But no one knows for certain, and so it's all the same to me. I think I'll just Some say you rest in the arms of the Savior if in sinful ways you lack. Some say that they're coming back in a garden, bunch of carrots and little sweet peas. I think I'll just let the mystery be. Everybody is wondering what and where they all came from. Everybody is worrying about where they're gonna go when the whole thing's done. But no one knows for certain, and so it's all the same to me. I think I'll just let the mystery be.
It's a beautiful song, isn't it?
Oh, I love it. I love it, and especially that arrangement. There are other arrangements, but I just think she did a beautiful job on that one. Wow.
I think so, too. That's the only version that I know, and I think it's great. And you consider her an influence. Is it just because
oh, yeah.
of her voice,
yeah.
or is it...
She combines various elements. She does a bunch of gospel things. I really like many of the things she writes, and I just like the way she arranges. I really enjoy that. So an example of another varied influence. It's still not maritime, is
it? Still not maritime, but we're getting there. We're getting there. Hey, but before we get into this maritime stuff, I want to just say that programming on Portsmouth Community Radio is made possible by you, our members, and by the Seacoast Growers Association. Presenting farmers markets in the Seacoast region for 32 years with local produce, meats, prepared foods, garden plants, and handcrafted goods. Seacoast Growers. .org. All right. So a lot of times, one theme in maritime music is that you're giving up the maritime life and you're going to be a farmer. So join the Seacoast Growers Association, I guess.
So go to sea no more.
So now let's talk a little bit about how did you get to, how many years ago, how long have you been coming to the Pressroom Session?
I started in 2002, and I enjoyed it so much. Within about 2 months, I decided to do something that was a really big step for me, but I didn't tell anybody. I pulled out my fiddle, which I hadn't touched in 35 years, because I was surrounded by people who could sing and play multiple instruments really well. And so I started playing fiddle again.
Wow.
But I was also exposed, that was really where I was exposed to the maritime music. And I really liked the fact that many of the shanties and forebidders and things are things that have choruses and they are intended for you to join in and sing along. And I really like that. I like situations. To me, there's one thing many Americans say, I just love music, or they say, I love sports. But what many people really mean is they like to watch 20-year-olds playing sports on TV and then argue about whether they should have caught that pass or something.
Right.
They don't do them themselves. And the same with music. People love it, but not as many people participate. And you really appreciate it on a whole new level. It's very rewarding if you are a participant.
Yep.
And this kind of music just invites that kind of participation, especially the shanties.
It definitely does. So in a way, it kind of gives you a baby step to not being so much a living vicariously through someone else that's playing music perhaps, but actually getting there and doing it yourself. I do want to talk about the community aspect of this, because but I would like to play, I think some of this Botany Bay is something that I think would be an interesting one to play. Or do you think that...
That's the only one that's got me visible on it, if you wanted to play that one. And there's a couple others. Round the Corner Sally is an example of short shanty.
Let's do Round the Corner Sally, because I want to give people... I know that one real well.
And you and
well.
I can join in on our...
Well, you're already on it. You'd be doubled, wouldn't you?
We'll just cue in the people at home so they'll know when to join in.
Okay, yeah, let's do that. Okay, let's give them an idea of how they do it, because I like the way that you are able to direct people sometimes to participate into the music as part of what you're doing. But this is the Mudhook, the name of Alan's band, and this is one called Round the Corner Sally.
Around the corner we must go.
Round the corner, Sally.
There it is, right there.
We all will go.
Round the corner, Sally.
I wish I had a gal in tow.
Round the corner, Sally.
I'd tow her down to Cayo.
Round the corner, Sally.
The finest place in Cayo.
Round the corner, Sally.
Is Madame Gachet's, you all do know.
Round the corner, Sally.
She told me, son, you'll rue the day.
Round the corner, Sally. Sally,
those gals have stole your pride away.
Round the corner, Sally.
Just one more pull and we are through.
Round the corner, Sally.
Okay, show of hands, how many people have the chorus by now? Come on, put your hands up.
This is another one where I hope people could figure out what the name of the song was.
And that's a short one, but it's an example of one of the kinds of things. Dave is the lead singer in that particular one. That's a funny one for us because Mike was born in Callao, which many of us in the United States would have called Callao, Peru.
Right.
But we're very careful to pronounce it the correct way.
I see. I heard that, and it, you know, startled me.
One of my students said, "What? What's the name of the band? Mudhook?"
Yeah. Well, I should just let people know that the definition of what a mudhook is on the back here. It's a slang word for anchor used by sailors. Or two, it's a Portsmouth, New Hampshire-based band specializing in maritime music. Wait a minute. I don't think this definition came out of the Oxford English Dictionary.
It came right out of the Oxford Collegiate Dictionary. That's Peter Hale, Mike Janot, Dave Hollowell, and myself.
That sounds more like a Wikipedia definition to me. But definitely mudhook. It's the anchor. You know, it goes down to the mud, hooks into it, makes sense to me.
And that lyric is in at least two of the songs we did, at least one of which is on that CD. Maybe both are on that particular CD. So it just fit, and so that's what we did. We couldn't find another band named Mudhook. That was another reason. It was unique, so here we be.
Are you a teacher?
I'm an extension entomologist, but I also have a teaching appointment as well. So in my extension work, I teach constantly, but it's in informal settings. But I'm also in front of students, you know, several times a week in the courses that I teach. So I do both roles.
Because you seem to want to, I mean, I see that you reach out to the audience. Is that something that just comes naturally to you, or do you think it has to do with teaching? Or I mean, this is what I
guess
I was asking.
I guess it could be both. I enjoy explaining a couple things about what's going on, but also it's a way to get people to participate. Mm-hmm. I'll often, if we're in a tuning break, I'll mention the difference between a jig and a reel, or a slip jig or something, so that if we've got so people understand. Oh, that's what it. Oh, I didn't realize that. And sometimes we have people count up while we're playing 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. That's the jig. So it's natural to do that kind of stuff. I'm in a teaching role all the time. And again, it's a way to get people to participate, get them to feel included, give them the opportunity anyway.
That's great. Well, thanks for coming on the show and sharing some of this stuff with us. I want to play another track. What would you care to listen to? Well, I have Yangtze River Shanty, Roll Down. They're both Yangtze River Shanty. Is that Charlie Ipcar's?
Yes, it is his version. And if you play that one, there's more. Most of what we do is sort of stringified maritime music, and that would be a really good example of that one. And that's one that Charlie helped arrange, and Pete does the lead vocals on that particular one.
Well, I'd like to give that a listen. I just want to say Charlie Ipcar was somebody who was on my program a while back.
Oh, I didn't realize that.
Oh, yeah. Well, and I recorded West Indies Blues, which he compiled. You're doing this Yangtze. Well, this will be Peter Hale. I should say the people in the band are David Howell, Peter Hale, Mike Janot, and Alan Eaton, the very first Mudhook person to be on Local Folk.
And we should say why, because the other guys are frequently having gigs at exactly this same time every
okay,
Monday
yeah,
night.
You're probably saying, what, Mudhook? I don't get it, but what I'm saying is that two of the Mudhook musicians are in a duet called
Or on More.
Or on More, and they're what I would call the after-party party here on Local Folk. They play down at Rera on Monday nights, and that's why none of them have been able to come in, although I think I may be able to get another member of Mudhook in right before the Portsmouth Maritime Music Festival, Folk Festival, which happens the last weekend of September.
You got Yangtze queued up?
I do. Here it is.
Oh.
Lotus lady, I'll see no more.
Away, boys, away, oh.
Since I left her on the China shore.
Away, boys, lift and walk away. Away, boys, away, oh. Blow me down that Yangtze River. Away, boys, lift and walk away.
When we first met, she was like a queen.
Away, boys, away, oh.
Prettiest little thing I ever seen.
Away, boys, lift and walk away. Away, boys, away, oh. Blow me down that Yangtze River. Away, boys, lift and walk away.
She had flashing eyes and long black hair.
Away, boys, away, oh.
All I could do was stand and stare.
Away, boys, lift and walk away. Away, boys, away, oh. Blow me down that Yangtze River. Away, boys, lift and walk away.
Bought her silks and a golden comb.
Away, boys, away, oh.
Trouble's over, now the mud hook's home.
Away, boys, lift and walk away. Away, boys, away, oh. Blow me down that Yangtze River. Away, boys, lift and walk away.
Blew my silver just to try to win her.
Away, boys, away, oh.
All that's left now is donkey's dinner.
Away, boys, lift and walk away. Away, boys, away, oh. Blow me down that Yangtze River. Away, boys, lift and walk away.
In the galley.
Away, boys, away, oh.
Farewell, young moon of the Yangtze Valley.
Away, boys, lift and walk away. Away, boys, away, oh. Blow me down that Yangtze River. Away, boys, lift and walk away. Away, boys, away, oh. Blow me down that Yangtze River. Away, boys, lift and walk away.
All right. It's 7:51 right now. You're listening to Local Folk. I'm your host, Steve Carrigan, and I'm here with Alan Eaton, who
Hi there.
Is part of the band Mudhook, which is who we're listening to right now. But we've listened to all kinds of amazing music and at least gotten a taste for, you know, Alan's sort of journey to this music now, and it sounds like the things that you love about the most are the participation and the relaxation.
Yes.
And the you sing some silly songs as well sometimes.
Yeah, both. We haven't. There's a lot that I do that. In fact, there's very little that I lead that's been recorded. I think the only one on either of these CDs that I lead that we've recorded is Botany Bay. Is that right? Botany Bay is the only one, but I lead a bunch of others. And there's a couple of kids' songs and a couple of parodies that I like. And I don't know, connects with my silly side. We're working up a bunch of new stuff for September's fest. Some really nice stuff I'm really liking.
Is it more shanties like that other one, the Around the Corner Sally, or is it more...
Both stringified stuff and shanties.
Yeah, okay.
So I think you'll like them.
I can't wait to look. I mean, I'm really looking forward to it, and you guys are starting. Let's just talk about the festival for just a minute, because you guys are kind of you're locally, as local people, you're headlining. I don't know who the main person is that's going to be performing, but you're the main local people that are playing here.
I think if I've got it right, we'll be leading off in the evening concert.
Yeah.
We've got one of our members has a gig that same day, so we're trying to get that fixed so it doesn't get in the way. But
if people wanted to learn more about you and Mudhook, for example,
that website.
How would they do it? Website. What's the website?
In fact, it's right there on the. I think it's mudhook.net. And
.net, huh?
I think that's right.
.fishing net.
I don't think that was the reason, but and you can find us there. You can get clips. You can also see if you go to YouTube, you can see clips of our performances at. Let's see, the last one that's on there are clips of performances from Boston Harbor Fest. I don't think anybody recorded us at Newport.
But you were recently at Newport singing in front of the tall ships.
We were at the tall ships in Newport. We were at Boston Harbor Fest and the Boston Irish Fest, in Canton, which is actually in Canton.
Right.
And we've got a private gig this week. But the next time that we'll be doing stuff is at the Maritime Fest, which I love because, again, it's free, one of my favorite words.
Mine too.
And instead of having a big event that everybody has to go to that one, it's a combination of five or six or seven different events at various venues scattered around the town, and people can get a taste of it without having to pay a lot of money and a big investment of time. It's really neat.
I think it's really neat. It's been going on, I think, for over 10 years now, correct?
I can't tell you the number, but that sounds about right to me.
It's very well established. It's a very well-established event right in the middle of downtown Portsmouth. And the maritime music is part of Portsmouth's heritage, considering the shipyard and
yes.
Some of the other... Hey, I tell you what, come down to the Maritime Festival, listen to Mudhook, and you'll... Very likely, and some of the other bands, and you very likely learn a little bit, or maybe even a lot more, about the local folk here in Portsmouth. And so there you go. You can go to mudhook.net. Also, if you have any questions or anything like that, you could email me at scarrigan, SCARRIGAN, at WSCAFM.org. Also, you could go to stephencarrigan.com, StephenCarrigan.com, and there's a local folk tab on there, and I keep an archive of all my past programs on there. So, for example, if you want to go cross-reference and listen to Charlie Ipkar, the person that did the Yangtze River Shanty, you could go back and listen and find out a little bit about him. He's kind of local as well.
Or Tony Giblin, who opened the bars where I first learned a couple of the songs we did earlier. Yeah. And so there's a lot of connections there.
Oh, definitely. Not only that, we had you brought in another CD, the Angel Band. We've had several people that were participants in the Angel Band. So you can go to StephenCarrigan.com, go to the local folk. And now I finally have somebody from Mudhook, Alan Eaton. Listen, I want to leave you all with this Botany Bay song, which is the one where you were most prominent in, correct?
Yeah, it's the one where I'm the lead singer.
Okay, so where you're the lead singer.
On this particular CD.
On this particular one. And do you want to tell us anything about this version of Botany Bay or anything like that?
This is one that I learned from hearing Matt and Shannon Heaton, and I really enjoyed it very much, this particular version. It's one of the traditional versions. We performed it, and Robbie O'Connell recognized it immediately and said, oh, that's so-and-so's version, so it dates back a long ways. Botany Bay, of course, is where prisoners were often transported to. They were sentenced to transportation from England for their crime, all the way down to Botany Bay, Australia.
I think the boat ride would be punishing
enough. This talks about somebody who has that fate.
Oh, boy. Well, hopefully that fate never comes back and befalls anything. It sounded miserable, but the music sounds wonderful. Alan, thanks for coming on the show.
Thanks for asking me, Steve.
Yes, and we will see you all, our listeners, next time here on Local Folks. See you later.
Goodbye to old Ireland forever. Farewell to my true love as well. Keep the child safe in your arms, love. I need you like no words can tell. Tooralai, ooralai, Annie. Tooralai, ooralai, ay. Tooralai, ooralai, Annie. Sailing for Botany Bay. The captain, he hauls up the anchor. He sails by the stars and the sun. Oh, I swear, if I live, I'll return again. To my darling, sweet kisses I'll run. Tooralai, ooralai, Annie. Tooralai, ooralai, ay. Tooralai, ooralai, Annie. Sailing for Botany Bay. For 7 long years I'm transported. For 7 long years and a day. Oh, I wish I were drowned on the ocean veld, for they've taken my true love away. Tooralai, ooralai, Annie. Tooralai, ooralai, ay. Tooralai, ooralai, Annie. Sailing for Botany Bay. Of a turtle dove, I'd soar o'er the pinions so high. I'd fly to the arms of the one I love, and safely with her I would lie. Tooralai, ooralai, Annie. Tooralai, ooralai, ay. Tooralai, ooralai, Annie. Sailing for Botany Bay. Sailing for Botany Bay.